Today's shiur is a Masechta Nidan Daf Yud Gimel with the beginning of the new Perek Kol Hayod at the top of the Amid. This shiur, as well as all of Seder Kachim, is L'Ilui Nishmas Rav Yaakov Tzvi Kupietsky. I would also like to dedicate today's shiur L'Ilui Nishmas Marenu Rav Rifol Ben Achover Zev Avram Mahler Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who was a renowned Talmud Chacham, doctor, and president of Kahal Hadas Yeshurun of Washington Heights for 40 years, and whose yortzeit is on Isru Chag Shvuas Ches Sivan. Yehi Zichroi Baruch. Begins the Mishnah, Kol Hayad Hamar Belivdek B'Nashim Mishubachas. Every hand that increases bedikas by women is praiseworthy. The more a woman is bodek, checks herself if she is anita, this is praiseworthy. However, banashim tiktzitz, but by men, his hand should be cut off if he is checking himself that he is a balkeri. By a woman, it is praiseworthy, as Rashi says in the second line, divremaskel meshubachas, shemitoich kach loy osli dey sofik tumma. By checking herself, she won't be in a state of being sofik tumma. She'll find out, for example, that she is a nida, and then she won't come to touch taharis to be matamet taharis. If she knows that she's a nida, her husband won't inadvertently have relations with her when she is a nida. But if a man does the same thing to himself and he checks his organ, he checks his aver, the checking itself, although his purpose is to see if he's a balkeri, if he has emitted semen from his body, but the groping in that area itself will cause hashchasa zera, and therefore his hand should be cut off. There's a question in the Gemara whether this is to be taken literally, that his hand is actually cut off, or that it is a curse. We'll see this on Amud Beis. Begins the Gemara. Ma'ishna noshim u'ma'ishna noshim. Why, in fact, is it that by women it's praiseworthy the more they check themselves, and by men it is not praiseworthy? The Gemara answers, noshim lav b'nois hargoshen ninu. The simple pshat is that women, by checking themselves, by rubbing themselves in the mokum erva, that does not cause them to become aroused, and it will not lead to hashchas zera, and therefore mishubachos, they are praiseworthy. Anoshim debnei hargoshen ninu. However, by men, where this action can cause them to, as Rashi says, their limbs will begin to tremble, and that will be a sign that they are being aroused, and that will lead to them seeing keri, and to being mashchis zera. So therefore, tiktzos, their hand should be cut off. And the Gemara asks, ihachi, if that is the rationale, my iria marba. So why does it say, the Gemara's Havamina was that the word marba in the Mishnah goes on both women and men. That if a woman is marba, it's praiseworthy. If a man is marba, it should be cut off. But by a woman, I understand. But by a man, ma'iriya marba, kiloi marba nami. Even if he does it only one time, if that can lead to ashchas zera, then it should be not praiseworthy. It should be worthy of a curse, even if he does it one time. The Gemara answers, you're right. Ki ketani marba, when the Mishnah used the word marba, when it's done often, that was anoshim tana. That was going on women. That by them, the more they do it, the more praiseworthy it is. By a man, even if he does it one time, it is something not praiseworthy, and in fact, tiktzos, his hand should be cut off. There is a machlokes rishonim exactly what the Mishnah is speaking about concerning when by women doing it is praiseworthy. According to the Rosh, our Mishnah is speaking about a woman who is constantly busy with taharos, because if, says the Rosh, it's not speaking about a woman who's osekes b'taharos, the Gemara before, Adaf Yud Beis, has told us that a woman should not be marbe because sheliboy noikvoy upirish, because the husband will see her checking herself so often, and as a result, he will have trepidation that perhaps she's a nida, and he will come to separate himself from his wife. So says the Rosh. However, the Rashba says that our Mishnah is speaking about that the husband isn't there, and therefore there's no chash about the husband separating himself from his wife, and therefore she should check herself often, even if she's not osekis tamid b'taharas, even if she's not constantly touching taharas. It's praiseworthy if she checks herself to know her status, whether she is in a state of tumah or in a state of tahara. The next three quarters of a blot, approximately, discusses this inyan, the aveira of hashchasa zera. And the Orach Lener wants to know what exactly is the makor in the Torah for the hashora, for the warning that one is not allowed to be mashcha zera. We do find on Amid Beis, here on Yud Gimel Amid Beis, we have a Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, where the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel said, on the Pasuk, Loi Sinaf, Loi Tehei Becha Niyuf, you should not have any promiscuity, Bein Biyad, Bein Beregel, whether it's through a hand or through a foot. As Tosis there explains, the Meshav Sheif Milasa Biyad or Beregel, the person is rubbing his organ, his makam of Mila, either with his hand or with his foot. And that leads him to be aroused and leads him to Ashchasa Zera. There are, in fact, some Rishonim who learn that this is the source. However, most Rishonim say that it's a smachta bialma. It's only a remez, because the simple pshat of leisinav has to do with someone having a relation with an eshes ish. And on that, the Torah says leisinav. To say that it's going on a person being mashcha zera, that's only, the Gemara meant it only as an asmachta, as a remez bialma. So what is the source? And in fact, we find here on Amud Aleph, the Gemara says that the Dor Hamabel, one of the averas for which they deserve destruction, was that they were mashcha zera. What was the warning to the Dor Hamabel that they should not do such a thing? Now, the Orach Lener points out that according to the Rabbeinu Tam Shita that we find in Masechet Yevamos, that anyone who is mitzvah in the mitzvah of Pruvu has also the isser of being mashcha zera. In other words, the zera is to be used for the mitzvah of Pruvu and not to be used for destruction, not to be used lahashchas zera. So it's a lav that comes from an assay. It's an isser assay. That would be the source according to the Rabbeinu Tam. But then it would come out, it would only be for men who are mitzvah in Pruvu and not for women who are not mitzvah in Pruvu. However, Tosfos here in the Haggah, in the second Tosfos, Divrei HaMaskil Nashim Delav Benoitz Hargashin Ninu, we learned the Gemara Pashit that women do not get aroused through the Bedika and they won't come Lidei Ashchasa Zera. However, Tosfos says that even if they would get aroused, there is no Isser for a woman to be Mashcha Zera. And therefore, Tosfos goes on to ask, if that's the pshat in the Gemara, lav benois hargashin ninu, that they're not commanded on hashchas of their own zera, that would work according to the Rabbeinu Tam, if the mitzvah is only by men and not by women of Puravu. However, Rabbi Yochim and Breike Shita is, in Yevamos Tav Samechei Amid Beis, that both a man and a woman are mitzvah in Puravu. And then, if our Gemara is not discussing the physical reality, whether she is a benos hargasha, but the Gemara means, as Tosfos understands it, that there's no isser, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Breike, if it's dependent on Puravu, a woman's mitzvah in Puravu, and therefore she would be mitzvah in Ashkasa Zera. Tosfos answers, V'yesh loimer dahainu tamish anashim l'oila mazriyes bifnim. So Tosfos answers that a woman, when she lets her seed go, it's internal. By a man, it's external. So if the man is doing it in the place of the bia, then it is permitted. If he does it outside of his own body and outside of his wife's body, then it's hashchasa zera. This seems to be similar to what the Rishonim discuss on Amid Beis that although there's an Isser of Hashchasas Zera, there is no Isser as far as Hashchasas Zera goes to marry a Ketana, even though the person will not be able to have a child from the Ketana. Or when his wife is Muberes, there's no Isser to have relations with her. There's no Isser of Hashchasas Zera, although she cannot become pregnant from that Bia that he has with his wife, or if his wife is a zakena in past the menopause, where she will not be able to be nisabir. So the Rishonim speak out that there's no hashchasas there because that's the derech, the normal way of having relations with his wife, and therefore it's permitted. And Tosfos here seems to be saying similarly that by a woman, even if she's mitzvah puravu, and she should have also an Isser, according to Rabbeinu Tam, of Hashchasas Zera, but since it's Bifnim, which is the derech of her to have the Zera in her own body, so therefore there's no Isser on her of Hashchasas Zera, as opposed to a man who would be emitting the Zera outside of his own body and not derech Bia with his wife. However, the Orach LaNer wants to suggest that perhaps the Isser of Hashchasas Zera is because of the Isser of Loisashchis, Bal Tashchis, where a person is not allowed to harm himself physically because one cannot destroy any part of nature. So part of the Bal Tashchis will be also in Hashchasas Zera. How will that affect the Dor HaMabul that didn't have that Isser of Bal Tashchis? On that, the Orach LaNer suggests that since there's a mitzvah of L'Sheves Yatzara, that the Rabbanei Shel Olam brought this world as something that should be cultivated and developed, and part of that is by people having children so that the world continues to be developed, the Dor HaMabul that refused to do this command of L'Sheves Yetzara, they were roid to be destroyed, because all of them took on the opposite of L'Sheves Yetzara. They took on Hashchasas Zera, and therefore the Orach LaNer suggests that's why they got the Zera of the Hashchasa through the Mabul. Continues the Gemara, B'medvar Mamurim, when do we say that a man should not check his aver because of the potential of shichva zera? That's only linian shichva zera. That's only concerning the destruction of semen. Aval linian zoiv. But if he's checking his aver because of an emission of zoiv, afhu meshubach kanashim, then the more he checks, the more praiseworthy he is, like a woman who is checking. First of all, what is the actual difference between shichva zera and zoiv? So shichva zera is the tumma of a bal keri who experiences an emission of semen, and he becomes tame, and he is not permitted midoraisa from eating truma or kachim. Zavus can come in three different ways. If he has one re'iyah of zavus, which is also an emission, and we will soon explain the exact difference in metzias, in the physical reality between shichva zera and zavus, but as far as the halacha is concerned, zavus, if there's one re'iyah, if he sees one drop of zavus, then he has the same din as a bal keri. If he sees two times zavus, then, in other words, he sees it twice in a two-day period, then he is tamei for 7 days. He has to have shiva nekiyim. He has to not see an emission for 7 days. And after the 7 days of nekiyim, he then goes to a mikveh and is tor. If he sees three times in a three-day period, then not only does he have to go through the Zayin Nekiyim, but he also has to bring a korban. Now, Rashi in Divrei HaMaskil, Le'inyan Ziva, tells us from the Gemara further on Daf Lamed Hey Amid Beis the physical difference between Zavus and Shechva Zera. And Rashi says, Zoiv Doima Lemei Betzek Shel Soirim, that Zoiv is like the water of barley dough, Ubo Mibosar Hames, and it comes from an organ, from the Aver when it's not erect, it's mace, and it looks like the white of a spoiled egg. On the other hand, Rashi continues, Shechva Zera, Bo Mibosar Chai, it comes from an erect organ, Ukishura, and it's viscous, Kiloven Be'eshen Muzaris, it's like the white of an unspoiled egg. So this is the difference in the physical reality between the two. Why is checking for Zavus commendable? Because it depends how often he sees the Zavus according to how Tameh he is, what halachas he has. And therefore, the only way he's going to know is by checking himself, and therefore he is praiseworthy just as a woman is praiseworthy when she checks for Nidus. Continues the Gemara of Afil in Shechva Zera, and even concerning Shechva Zera, in Bal Livdoik Betzror or Becheres, if he wants to check himself with a stone or with a shard of pottery, which is hard, and through these items he will not come to any arousal or to any Shechva Zera, Boydek, he is allowed to check himself. Says the Gemara, from here I can deduce Ubematlis Loy, that but with a cloth you should not check yourself. Vahatanya, we learned in a brisa, not like that. The brisa says, he can check himself with a cloth or anything that he wants. The Gemara answers, as Abaya said concerning another halacha, b'matlis ava, that you're allowed to check yourself with a thick cloth, which is also hard. It's not soft like a soft cloth. It will also not cause arousal or shechva zera. And Hacha Nami B'matlasava, just like Abaya said it for that halacha, the same would apply over here, that we're only permitting the brisa that says Boyd Gatsma B'matlas, it means a thick matlas. Ask the Gemara of Ahech Itmar D'Abaya, where did Abaya say his din originally that with a matlasava it's permitted? Ahadisnan, concerning the following Mishnah, which we find further on Daf Mem Amet Aleph, Hoya Eichel B'Truma, if a Kohen was eating Truma, Vehirgish, and he experienced, he felt, Shenizdazeyu Evorov, that his limbs were beginning to shake, Eiches Ba'amasa, in other words, this is a sign that he has Zera that has already gone from its source, and soon that Zera will be emitted. But Rashi brings down from the Gemara in Daf Mem that Hazov u'Balkeri ein metamen achetetzi tumas l'chutz, the tuma is not when it leaves its place of origin, but rather it's only when it comes outside of the body. Until that time, the person is not tummy. So the Kayin, as long as he's not Tummy, he's allowed to eat Truma. Once he becomes Tummy, he's forbidden to eat Truma. So now he's in the middle of eating Truma, and he feels that he's going to have an emission of Zera. So what is an Eitzah? Oiches Ba'amasa, Ubaleas Truma. He holds on to his organ, to his Aver, and that prevents temporarily that the Zera should not be emitted outside of his body, so he's still tahar, and therefore the truma that he has in his mouth, ubaleas the truma, he's allowed to swallow that truma because he's not yet tamei. And the question is, oiches, how can he grab on to his organ? Vatanya, we learned in a brisa, or blazer, imer, kol oiches b'masring mashdin, whoever grabs on to his organ while he is urinating, ki'ilu mevi mabul oilam, it's as if he brings a mabul to the oilam, as Rashi brings down, because the aveira of the Dora mabul, one of their averas was that they were mashchazera, as Rashi brings the pasuk, ki hishchis kol basar, and Chazal say that beroischin kilkulu, they did an aveira with something hot, that's the semen, the zera that they wasted, and as a result they had an onish of a hot water as far as the mabul is concerned. So the question was, how could the Mishnah say that you're allowed to grab onto your organ when Rabbi Eliezer says that's something wrong, and it was the cause of the mabul coming to the world? Amar Abaya, on that, Abaya responded, bematlas abo, that it's talking about a thick cloth, and then it is permitted. Rav Amar, Rav says concerning the Mishnah of Truma, afilotem bematlas rako, it could be that he is allowed to hold himself, he's allowed to hold his aver even with a soft cloth, and we're not worried about hashchas zera. Why? Because kiven de akar, once the zera has gone away from its source, it's already on its way out. He's not increasing in any way more hashchas zera. Va'abaya chayish dil masil asufe. But Abaya says no. If he doesn't stop the emission, it's possible that even more will come out. So he has to do it with a matlas avo, because if he's going to do it with a matlas raka, he's going to be causing more to come out. And therefore it would be oster. V'rova l'chayish dil masil asufe. Rav is not worried about more coming out, more than is already nekar, that is already uprooted from its source. So therefore Abaya is saying you can only stop the emission with a thick cloth, and Rava says that you could even do it with a soft cloth and you don't have to worry for more emission of Sheikh Lazer. Asking more of a lawyer, how could Rava say that you're not worried for more emission? Vatani, we learned in the Bryce, the Holomaza Daima, what is it compared to? If a person constantly rubs his aver concerning the problem of shichva zera, it's compared lenais and etzva ba'ayin, somebody putting his finger into his eye. Shekoz mancha etzva ba'ayin, as long as his finger is in his eye, ayin medamas, the eye tears. The chayzer es umedamas, and it continues to tear. So too, if someone is holding his aver, he will continue the flow of more zera, and he'll be mashchis more zera. So the question now comes back to Rava. How could Rava say that we're not worried about him adding shichva zera? V'Rava kol achmume v'hadar achmume b'shate lo shchiach. Rava says, as the way Rashi explains, that when we say that continuous holding of his aver will cause more arousal and more shichva zera, that's when one arousal will end, a new one will begin. One hashchas zera ends, a new one begins. That is prohibited. But in the middle of the one hashchas zera, in the middle of that, in a short time that it takes to bring a soft cloth and hold his aver, that is not going to cause more shichva zera, because he's in the middle of a period of arousal and shichva zera. It's only when that period stops, then if he's still holding his aver, it will cause more arousal and more shichva zera. But in the middle of his initial arousal, by holding it with the soft cloth and stopping the emission, it will not cause more hashchas zera, and therefore Rava permits it, but Abaya is machmer and says you can only do it with a hard cloth, which will not cause any more arousal or any more shichva zera. Continues the Gemara. Gufa, we learned before, Blazerheimer, kol oichas ba'amav mashten kilu mevi mabul oilam. Whoever holds on during urination to his aver, it's as if he brings the mabul to the world. Amru loy, the chachamim disagreed with Rabbi Eliezer. Amru loy le Rabbi Eliezer, they said to Rabbi Eliezer, you have to hold on to your aver. Why? Because you have to cause your aver to make a arch of the urine, that it will go away from a person's body. Because otherwise, if you don't do that, v'alo nitzaytzeis nitazen al raglov, what's going to happen is that the urine will fall near his feet, it'll ricochet off the ground back onto himself, and people will see that he has droplets of urine on him, and he will appear to people as if his aver has been cut off. And then people will say, a person whose aver is cut is not able to have children. And we know he has children. People will cast aspersions on his children that they're not his children, that his wife had relations with another man, and that these are really illegitimate children. So therefore, the Rabbanim were saying to Rabbi Eliezer, because of this problem, we're forced to allow him to hold on to his aver during urination so that the urine will go far away and not ricochet back on the person. What was Rabbi Eliezer's response to the Chachamim? Amar Lehen, he said to them, Mutiv sheyotzi laz albanim shehein mamzerim. It's better that people should cast aspersions on his children that they are illegitimate. Val yasa atzmi rasha shor achas of the amakim. And he should not be considered a rasha even for one moment in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rabbi Eliezer remained unconvinced by the argument of the Chachamim and prohibited holding the aver during the time of urination. However, in a different brisa, we see differently. Tanya, we learned in a different brisa. Amar and Rabbi Eliezer Chachamim, Rabbi Eliezer said to the Chachamim, you're worried about the droplets of urine ricocheting back from the ground onto him. I have two solutions. Number one, after Yamed Adam B'makum Gavoyev Yashin, he can stand in a high place and urinate even without holding onto his aver, and the urine, the meiraglayim, will fall far away from him, and they won't ricochet back because he's on a high place. Or another solution, yashin b'afer t'choach, he should pass water in soft earth, and again it won't ricochet back onto him, and he won't look like a krishivcha. Val yas atzmei rosh hashachas v'dei hamakom. These two solutions are better than him holding on to his aver, and he will be a rush in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. The Gemara wants to know, hi Amar Lehu, which of these two brises did he respond first? Ilei mekamais Amar Lehu Bereisha, if he said the first one first. So it's difficult to say that, because Basr de Amar Lehu Isura, Hadar Amar Lehu Takanta. First he told them across the board, in every situation, it's Usr. And then later he says, I have two solutions. Once he said it's Usr, apparently he held there were no solutions. Ella, we have to say, Ha Amar Lehu Bereisha. He really said the second Brisa first. First he told them of solutions. Then they said to him, the Rabbanu responded, what happens if he's in a situation, he's not in a high place, he doesn't have soft earth, what do you do then? You're going to have to say like us that he holds on to his aver so that he should not be considered kur shivcha. Amar Lehen, when he finally ran out of solutions, he said, no, I don't agree with you. It's better that people should cast aspersions on the legitimacy of his children rather than holding his aver, which will make him a rush in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and which could cause hashchasa zera. The Kol Kach Lama, why is Reb Lezer so makbid that he shouldn't hold on to his aver? Because he's going to cause semen to go out of his body without any purpose, and he'll be over on the Isser of Hashchasa Zera. Dom Rabbi Yochanan, Kol HaMotzi Shechem Zera Levatola Chayv Misa. Whoever causes that the Zera should be destroyed and not be used for the mitzvah of Pru Revu, he is Chayv Misa. He's Chayv Misa B'dei Shemayim. Not by Bezdin, but he's Chayv Misa B'dei Shemayim. Shenemar. Because the Pasuk says, Vayera Be'enei Hashem Asher Asa. This is speaking about Er V'onan. Er was Mashke Zera. He didn't want to have relations with Tamar. And then Oinon followed and also didn't want to have relations with Tamar, and he wasted the Zera. Vayomis Kamisar, Kaddish Baruch Hu also killed Oinon after he had killed Er for the same Avera. So we see that a person who does such a thing is Chayv Misa B'dei Shemayim. Rabbi Yitzchak v'Rav Ami Amri, they said that a person who's Mashke Zera, Kilush Shayfach Dam, it is as if he is killing someone. Shenemar, the pasuk says in Yeshaya Nun Zayin, Hanachamim be'elim. Rashi explains this to mean bali hanois, people who seek pleasures. Tachas kol eitz ranan, they are under every tree. Shoich de'ayaladim barachalim, they are shechting, they are killing the children in the valleys. Tachas ifei asloim, under the clefts of the rock. Al tikri shoich de, don't read it with a shin. Ella soich de, squeezing out. And this is referring to a person who is Mashke Zera, who squeezes the Zera out of his Aver, and he is considered as if he is killing the children by doing such an act. Rav Asi Omer Kiloi v'Ravad Itzchom. It's as if he's serving idolatry. Ksiv Hocha, here the Pasuk says that the pleasure seekers are Tachas Kol Eitz Ranon. Uksiv Hosim, and it says there concerning Avodah Zarah, Alohorim Haramim, on the high mountains, the Tachas Kol Eitz Ranon, that's where they serve the Avodah Zarah. Rav Yehuda v'Shmuel, Nadigmor says a story between Rav Yehuda the Talmud and Shmuel, his Rebbe. Havikaimi, they were standing, Igra on the roof, the Beit Knishta of the synagogue, the Shul. The name of the Shul was the Shaf v'Yosef. The Orach explains that this refers to Shaf, it moved, v'Yosef, it settled. And Rashi in Avodah Zarah, the Fmem Gimel Amud Beis, tells us that the Melech Yechonia brought from the stones and the earth of Yerushalayim to build this particular Beis HaKnesses, and the Shechina that was in Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash transferred over into this shul that was made from the destroyed stones and earth of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. So they were on the roof of this shul in Nardah. Amar le Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda said to his Rabbi Shmuel, Tzarech ani lashtin, I have to relieve myself. And he didn't want to do it on the roof of the shul. Amar le, so Shmuel said to Rabbi Yehuda, Shinanot, you sharp one. We find many places in Chas where Shmuel referred to his Talmud Rabbi Yehuda as Shinanot, achoz b'amascha, grab a hold of your aver, v'hashten l'chutz, and cause that the arch, the flow will go away from the shul. Ask the Gemara, Heichi Avad Hachi, how could Shmuel advise him to do this? Vatanya, we learned in the Braisa before, Rabbi Eliezer, Imer Kolaychas Bamasir Mashlin, Kilim Evi Mabel Oilam. This was the head of the Dora Mabel. So how could Shmuel tell Rabbi Yehuda to grab onto his Aver? So Taisvis, in Divya Maschel, Oiches, third Taisvis on the Amud, asks a question in the middle of the Taisvis. What's more asking from Rabbi Eliezer? We saw before that the Rabbanan disagreed with Rabbi Eliezer, and they were of the opinion that you are allowed to hold on to your Aver so that you shouldn't be considered a Kershifcha and the flow should go away from the person. So what's the question that the Gemara is asking from Rabbi Eliezer? Taisvis answers that the Rabbanan only permitted it before because there was a laws of mamzerus that people would claim that this person's children are illegitimate. But for any other reason, the Rabbanim wouldn't have permitted it either. And Rabbi Yehuda over here is on a high place. So he has that solution of making sure that there's no droplets that will ricochet back on him. The only reason he would want to hold on to his aver is that the urine, the mei reglaim, should not fall down on the walls of the shul, and that would not be considered enough of a reason for the Rabbanan to disagree with Rabbi Eliezer. In other words, the Gemara is asking that in this particular case, it's not only Rabbi Eliezer who would hold its usher, but the Rabbanan would agree that it's usher to hold on to your organ. So how did Shmuel tell Rabbi Yehuda to do this? Amar Abaya, so Abaya answers, Asu kebalashas, that Shmuel considered Rabbi Yehuda like the case of an attacking troop of soldiers, the Snan. We learned in a mission in Avodah Zarah, Daf Mem Amud Beis, Boel Shes Shenichnes Le'ir, this troop of soldiers, the marauding troop of soldiers that were coming into the city, B'Shashol, and when there is no warfare going on, Chaviyos Pesuchos Asuris. So if we find any open barrels, they're Asur, because we're worried that of the Isser of Yayin Nesach, that perhaps they took from this wine to serve the Avodah Zarah. Stumos, but if they are sealed, Mutoris, then we know that the army did not use this wine. B'shas Melchama, but if it's in a time of battle, of skirmishes, Elu ve'elu mutaris, then whether it's closed or open, it's mutar. Why? L'fishein lempnai l'nasech. They don't have time to be menasech to the Avodah Zarah. So even open ones are permitted. Alma, so what do we see from that Mishnah? The Kiv and the B'C, loy osil and suche, since they are afraid, they're in the middle of a battle. If they're not going to concentrate on the battle, they're afraid of getting killed. So they don't do an Avera of Nisuch. Hachanami, so too concerning here, Kivan de Beise, since Rabbi Yehuda was afraid, lo yasil hurray. We're not worried that if he's going to hold his aver, he will come to be aroused, and that it will lead him to hashchas zera. So the Gemara said there was no battle going on here. V'hocha may be susika. What fear did he have? And the Gemara offers various terutzim. Ibay sema, if you want, I will tell you. Be susa delel yudigra. It was fear of night and of the roof. He was in a high place. It was at night. He was worried about falling off. In the middle of being afraid, he would not come to be mahar, and therefore Shmuel advised him that he could hold on to his aver. V'ibay sema be susa derabbi. Or he was afraid. He was in front of his rebbe, Shmuel. Or, as we mentioned before, this shul was from the time of Yechaniah, was from the earth and the stones of Yerushalayim, and the Shechina came to this shul, and because of the fear of the Shechina, he wouldn't come to hear her. Or, as Rashi explains, it had nothing to do with this particular shul. It could have been anywhere. But he constantly had Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Summit. He always had the fear of Hashem wherever he went. The Kari Shmuel Alei, because Shmuel said in reference to Rav Yehuda, Ein Ze Yilud Isha. We have to look at him that he's like an angel. He's not born from a woman. So great is his holiness and his fear of Hashem. The Iboy is same, or the reason he was permitted is because Nasi Havi, he was married. The Amr of Nachman, Rav Nachman said him, Hoya Nasi Mutter, this whole prohibition of holding on to Aver at the time of passing water, that's only for someone who's not married. But someone who's married, he has his wife available to him, and therefore it's considered pas besalo. He has like bread in his basket, and therefore, just by touching his aver, it will not bring him to arousal. The eboy is same, or kiha or relay. This is what Shmuel taught him. The Tani Abibred Binyamin Barchia, Avul Mesayeh Bebeitz Milamato. He's allowed to hold his testicles from the bottom and thereby direct his organ that the flow of the Mei Raglaim should go away from the shul. So he was not touching directly his aver. We should point out that on the teretz that we had before, Im Hoya Nasi Mutter, Taisvis, in the bottom Taisvis on the Yamid, brings the Gemara in Shabbos, Tafkuf Yud Chesem and Beis, that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who wrote the Mishnah, the redactor of the Mishnah, was called Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the holy teacher. Why was he called holy? He never put his hand under his belt. And the Taisa says that's the Chiddush, even though he was married, and even though there is a heter for someone who's married, that he would be allowed to touch his Aver at the time of passing water, even so, he machmor latzmai Taisa says Rebbe was Rabbeinu HaKadosh, that he was machmor himself never to touch his aver, even though he had a heter. And finally, we give the last teretz on why Rabbi Yehuda was permitted. V'iboy yaseim kiha I relay. This is what Shmuel taught Rav Yehuda. Amar Rav Avuah, Rabbi Yochanan, gvul yesh loy. There is a demarcation. A certain part of his organ is permitted to touch, and a certain part is prohibited to touch. Me'ataru lamata, from the crown, from the top of his aver, where it is away from his body. So lamata means downwards, meaning away from his body. If you touch that, that is permitted. And it would seem this is permitted even for someone who's not married, that he could touch his organ at the tip and not below that. So miatara ulamata, away from his body, mutter. As we turn to daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, miatara ulamala, and from the crown of his aver, and higher, meaning, as Rashi says, letzadaguf, towards his body, that is usur. So what Shmuel told Rabbi Yehuda is, you can hold on to your aver from the atara ulamata, away from your body, and that is permitted. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rav, said Rav, Hamakasha Atzmei Ladas, if someone arouses himself intentionally, Yehei Ben Nidui, he should be in Nidui, in excommunication. The top Tosfos tells us, Einam Nidumi Atzmei, it doesn't mean that he automatically becomes excommunicated. Ela Kloimer Chayovim L'Ndoisei, Bezdin, when they find out what he has done, they have an obligation to put him into Nidui. Ask the Gemara why such an extreme punishment, Velema Osir. Why didn't Rav just say that it's prohibited to do such a thing? The answer is, the Kamagara Yetzer Nafshi, because he incites the Yetzer Hara on himself. In other situations, a person has a Yetzer Hara that comes on him from the outside and tries to make him do an aver. But here, the person himself, by his own actions, is bringing the Yetzer Hara on himself. That makes it so much worse, and therefore he should be excommunicated. V'Rav Ami Omar, Rav Ami said, Nikra Varin, he's called a transgressor. Shekach umnasi shal Yetzer Hara. This is the methodology of the Yetzer Hara. Hayoyim oimru lo yaseh kach. Today he tells him to do something minor, ulamachar oimru lo yaseh kach, and the next day he tells him to do something else, ulamachar, and the third day oimru lo lech avoid, avoid eskechavim, go and serve idolatry. V'hoylech v'ayved, and he goes and he serves. In other words, once a person has no control over himself, and he allows himself to do averus such as being mekasha atzma ladas, eventually his yetzer hara can lead him even to avodah zorah itself. Ikad Amri, some say Amr of Ami, they said a different inyan in the name of Rav Ami besides what we just said, that nikra varyan, that Rav Ami said kol amevi atzma ladei hearer, if a person brings himself to arousal, ein machnis nesavim chitzos shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't let him enter into the portion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ksiv Hoch, it says by Onan, when he was Mashke Zera, Vayera Bene Hashem, that he did evil in the eyes of Hashem. Uksiv, and the Pasuk in Tehillim Perik Hay states, Uksiv Hosam Ki Loi Kael Chofech Resha Ato. You, Hashem, are not a God who desires evil. And the Mesoros Hashas on the side tells us that we should read as follows in the next line of Gemara. Lo yagur chara, that's the end of the pasuk. Amar Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar says, "My lo yagur chara." What is meant by that statement? Lo yagur be migur chara, that in your dwelling, someone who is considered evil will not dwell. So since for Ashkas is there, we find that Vayera b'nei Hashem, that Oinu was considered evil in the eyes of Hashem. So therefore, from here, Rav Ami learnt out that whoever brings himself to the Lidei Hearer, which will result in Ashkas Zera, he is not brought into the Mechitza of HaKadosh Baruch, as we see from the Pasuk in Tehillim. The Amar Rav Lazar also said, Ma'idich Siv, that which it states, Yedeichem Damim Maleu, your hands are full of blood. As the Oracle there explains, there is a double dumb, two times. It could have said Yedeichem Dam Molu, your hands are full of blood. Why Damim? So Elu Hamanafim Biyad. The simple Damim means murder. But since a person who's Mashkezer is causing that people who would have been born are not born, so he's like killing them as well. So Elu Hamanafim Biyad. This is the second blood that the Pasuk Yedeichem Damim in the plural is speaking about. Those who do promiscuous acts with their hand, as Rashi says, that through their hand touching their aver might see zera livatola. Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel, we learned in the Beis Meshra Rabbi Shmuel, on the pasuk Lysinaf, which Bepashas is speaking about someone having relations with an Ashes Ish, we learn Lytahebach Niyuv Bain Biyad Bain Beregel. Since it doesn't mention the woman in the pasuk, so the Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel said that it's going on Hashchas Zera, that a person does an act of promiscuity through his hand by rubbing his organ, or through his foot, as Tosfos, the second Tosfos, says, "Hainu de mishafshef melasa." He rubs his organ, the place of the bris mila, biyad, with his hand, oy beregel, or with his foot against his aver, and as a result, he causes hashchas zera. As we mentioned at the beginning of the shir, there are some Rishonim who learn that this is the Azhara for Hashchasa Zera, but most Rishonim say that this is an Asmachta Bialma, it's only a Remez, and as we mentioned, there are other sources for the Azhara of Hashchasa Zera. Tana Rabban, we learned in the Braisa, Hagerim, V'Amesachim Atinak, those who play around with young children, Ma'akvenes HaMashmiach, they hold Mashiach back from coming. They hold the geula back. So Bishlam, I'm a geirim. I understand how geirim do this. Kid Reb Chelboy, as Reb Chelboy stated, as we find the Gemara Kedushin of Ayin Amid Beis, the Omer Reb Chelboy, caution geirim li Yisrael kisapachas. Geirim are difficult for Klal Yisrael like sapachas. Sapachas is a type of tzaras. And the Rishonim, of course, tried to understand in what way are geirim bad for Yisrael like sapachas. So Rashi brings two pshatim. The first one is on the fourth wide line on top, she'ein b'kiyin b'mitzvahs. They're not baki in mitzvahs. Umevim paranis. As a result, they are Jews who are not doing mitzvahs properly, and that brings punishments. Secondly, shemo lemeidim Yisrael mimaseyin. Other Jews will see them, and they are now that they became gerim, full-fledged Jews. They're not doing the mitzvahs properly, so other Jews will learn from them. Mipi mayri hazaken. This Rashi says over from his Rebbe. V'yesh oimer, and there's another pshat, shekol Yisrael reivim zebezet, that we find a concept, the Gemara in Saita, the Flamazayim of Beis, of arvus, that every Jew is responsible one for another. And therefore, we're responsible for anything bad that the gerim do, and that's why we get punished as well. However, Rashi dismisses this pshat, v'lav milsehi, sheloinis arvu b'shol gerim. Rashi states his position that there is no arvus for gerim, because the Gemara there in Saita Lamed Zayin Amud Beis says that nimtzu l'chol echad Yisrael sheish mayas elef u'shloish shalof v'tof kuf nun brisos, that since there were at that time 603,550 Jews, so each Jew had a covenant from the other Jew to be an ore for him, to be a guarantor. Each Jew guaranteed that he, the other Jew, would do the mitzvah, that he would make sure. So Rashi sees from that Gemara, Shekul Misarvim Zebezeh, each Jew was an or for the other, so each Jew had on him 603,550 covenants from all the other Jews. Alma loynis arvu al gerim. There was no arvus on the gerim because the 603,550 did not include gerim. Tosfos Divrei Maaseh Kashya, the third Tosfos on the Amud, brings Rashi's pshat about arvus that we just mentioned, and he wants to suggest that perhaps yesh loim lefish lo yada cheshbainan. It's not that there's no arvus, but we couldn't give a set number because we don't know exactly how many of the heir of Rav went along with Bnei Yisrael. But then he says that in the Mechilta we find that the heir of Rav were keflayim kiyaitz Mitzrayim. So we do have a number. It's double the amount of Jews that went out of Mitzrayim. The Re wants to say a different shot, that since the yichus of a ger is not the same as that of a regular Jew in Klal Yisrael, and he gets intermarried with the rest of Klal Yisrael, so that has an effect on the yichus of the Bnei Yisrael. So all the pshatim that we've seen here are negative against gerim, but if we look in the Tosfos in Kedushin Ayin Amud Beis, there are two other pshatim that Tosfos brings there which are more positive. First, Tosfos says, the Yesh Meforshim, the Kashmir Gavi Shulk, Zapachel Fisha, Hizer, a Kodesh Borch, a Lamb, the Chav Dalad, Mekarmish Shalayla Hanay, say some, the Yev Shalay Tsaru. They're difficult, Gerim, because in 24 places, and the Messiah Sashas brings down that above the Metziah Dafnun Tesamid Beis, we find 36 places, and others say 46 places that the Torah says, Lysinus, a Ger, don't cause aggravation to a Ger. And since it's impossible in our dealings with gerim that we won't bother them, so we'll be over on these 36 or 46 or 24 different prohibitions, and that brings calamity to the Bnei Yisrael. And finally, Tosfos brings a pshat from Harav Avram Ger. Avram the Ger explained in a very positive way. Lefi shahagerim bikin b'mitzvos umedaktekin bohem. Kashim heim liyisrael kisapachas. Demitoich kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu masker avonaseim shel Yisrael kishein oisin ritzoini. This is what Tosfos says in the long Tosfos that starts on Ayin Amud Beis in Kedushin and continues on Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph. This part of Tosfos of Avram Hager is on Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph. So he says in a positive way that the Gerim are so careful to do all the mitzvahs carefully, and therefore Hashem is, by comparing the rest of Bnei Yisrael to the Gerim, he says to the Bnei Yisrael, look at the Gerim, look at what a wonderful job they're doing with mitzvahs, look what you're doing, you're not as careful as them. That brings a kitrug against the Bnei Yisrael, and that's why Kashim Gerim Yisrael Kisapachas. Back to the Gemara, so we understand why they, the Gerim, through these various pshatim, caused Mashiach to be delayed. What's the case of playing with children? Elam and Mishkav Schur, if you're talking about homosexuality, so Bnei Skila Nenu, you're Chayav Skila for that. That's not just, as Rashi explains, that's not just your Ma'akiv Degula, that's a Chiv Misa. Ella Derech Evorim, you're speaking about where there's no Bia, there's just massaging the Aver next to the limb of a child. So that's Hashchas Zera, B'nei Mabel Ninu. That's Misa B'dei Shemaim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like he brought Misa a Mabel against the Dor HaMabel. But again, it's worse than just holding back Mashiach. What do you mean by playing with children? And Rashi points out that Derech Evorim cannot mean Mishkav Schur, because Mishkav Schur is only, as we learn from the Pasuk, Mishkavei Isha, that there is relations with a woman in two areas, in the front and the back of a woman. So that is the type of bia that the Mishkav Schur person is over on. So it's not just Derech Evorim, but it's a bia. Therefore, that's not included in the first halacha that we learned to have Mishkav Schur of Bnei Skila Ninu. This is a different halacha, not through Bia Derech Evorim, that's Bnei Mabel Ninu. But it's worse than just preventing the Gula. Ella de Nesivei Ketanais, they married young girls who were not able to have children. De La Bnei Saludi Ninu, De Amar Rabbi Yaisi, Amen David Ba, Mashiach will not come, Achi Yichla Kol Neshamas Shebeguf, until all the Neshamas and the Guf have left that place. Rashi explains that guf is a cheder, it's a room, it's a chamber. Ki guf shem makam hamiyuchel l'neshamas ha'asidim liyos n'aldim. This is where Hashem keeps all the souls, the neshamas that have yet to be born. Shenamar, the pasuk in Yeshaya says, and this pasuk is speaking about the geula. At the beginning of the pasuk, at the end of the pasuk says, what's stopping the geula from coming? Ki ruach mufana yatoif. It's the spirit that are late. Those children who are born late, they haven't yet been born. V'neshamas on the asisi. The neshamas which I have made, which are in the guf. And if someone is married to a ketana and she can't have a child, she can't conceive, so then he's not Isaac and Puruvu. At that time, he could have been Isaac and Puruvu. He could have emptied out that guf, that cheder, that chamber from some of the neshamas, which he didn't do. So the Shalos Tshuvos HaRosh in Siman Lamed Gimel, Ois Gimel, points out that there's no Isser here of Hashchas Zera, because again, that would have been Bnei Mabel Ninu. We're saying that these people who married the Ketanis are not Bnei Mabel, even though they can't have children. But since their Zera is going into the Ketana Derech Ishus as a husband and wife, therefore there's no Hashchas Zera. The same reason that a husband can have relations with his wife who's Muberes, who's pregnant, and she's not going to have another child through that Zera, or someone can have relations with his wife who is a Zekena, and she won't conceive and have a child. All that is permitted, says the Rosh, because it's Derech Ishus. That's, he's living with his wife in the normal way. And therefore, it's not included in B'nai Mabel Ninu. However, he's preventing Mashiach from coming. However, if he has a reason, the Paiskim say, that he has to marry this young girl at this time, so he is allowed to. He's not transgressing any Isser, but he's just stopping the geula if he's not being Isaac and Puruvu, and therefore it is advised to him that if at all possible he should not marry a ketana. So this is what we refer to as Gerim and Mesachim B'tinoikis, that means those who play with the children, means the ones who marry girls who cannot conceive their ketanos, they cannot have children. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the Mishnah, about Noshim Tiktzos, that a man who checks himself once even and touches his aver, he can cause Hashchasas Eir, therefore his hand should be cut off. The Gemara has a question. Boilu dinatnan, is this actually a halacha that we have to cut off his hand? Oilu tusatnan, or is it a curse? Dinatnan, is it a din that you have to cut off his hand, as we find precedent elsewhere? Kihoda Rav Huna kots yoda, he cut off the person's hand. Rashi brings down the Gemara, which says in Sanhedrin, kol ameirim yoda el chaveri tixas, anybody who raises his hand to hit his friend, his hand should be cut off. And Rav Huna kots yoda, he cut off the hand of a person who raised his hand, he hit his fellow Jew. Alma, says Rashi, tiktus dina, we see that there could be a halacha that Bezdin, if they feel it necessary, could cut off someone's hand. So it's possible our Mishnah means literally we should cut off that person's hand if he is touching his aver. Oy letusatnan, or no, maybe our Mishnah meant it's only a curse. Toshma, come in here. I'll bring you a proof from a machlokes between Rav Tarfon and the Chacham. The Sani we learned in the Braiser, Rav Tarfon Oimer, Yod lo amad, if a person has his hand on his aver, tiktzis yod al taburi, his hand should be cut off on his navel, on his stomach. Amru loy, the Chachamim said to Rav Tarfon, the next words in the parentheses are not to be read at this point, says the Marshal, he's moichik these words, v'haloi kreis in nifkas. The Chachamim said to Rav Tarfon, his stomach will be cut. Omar Lohan, Rav Tarfon responded, Mutav Tavaka Kreis. It's better that his stomach should be cut, Valyer Lever Shachas. And he should not be brought down into Gehenna. Ber Shachas is another name for Gehenna. So, Iyamad Bishlam Adinatan, if we're going to say that Tixis Yadah means literally that we have to cut off his hand, Hainadamri, that's what the Chacham said to Rav Tarfon, Valoy Kreis in Ifkas. If you're going to cut off his hand on his stomach, then his stomach will get split also from the cut. But if our Mishnah, when it says that Tixis Yadi just meant that he gets cursed, my creation of Kas, what does the Chumah mean that his stomach will be cut? His stomach is not going to be cut because we're just giving him a curse. Elamai, says the Gemara, Dinatan. You want to say it means a din? And that's what you're bringing me arrive from the Braisa? Like Sagi, the Lav of Al Taburoi. There must be something missing from your explanation of the Machlokes Rav Tarfon the Rabbanan. If it is a din, what does Rav Tarfon mean that he has to put his hand on his stomach? And if you cut off his hand not on his stomach, you're not fulfilling the words of the Mishnah? There's no halacha that you have to put it on your stomach. So obviously, we're missing something in the explanation between Rav Tarfon and the Chacham. The Gemara thought that Rav Tarfon meant he has to put his hand on his stomach. You cut his hand, and that's what the Rabbanan objected. You're going to cut his stomach also. But the Gemara has proven that cannot be the pshat. So what is the pshat? If that were the pshat, then we would be having a good raya that tiktzis yaday means literally to cut his hand. But we've proven that's not the pshat. What is the pshat? Alachikamer. This is what Rav Tarfon meant to say. Kol ha-machlus yaday lamat mitaburi tiktzis. He didn't mean to say his hand should be cut on his stomach. The al doesn't mean on. The al means as a result because of his stomach. Rav Tarfon's saying anyone who puts his hand underneath his belt onto his stomach and he puts it by his aver, his hand should be cut off because of his hand going there. Amru le Rav Tarfon, said the Rabbanan, said to Rav Tarfon, Yashiv lekaitz bekreiso leit lena. What happens if he had a thorn on his stomach? He shouldn't put his hand there to get the thorn out. Amar len loy. So Rav Tarfon said no. So the Rabbanan said back to Rav Tarfon, loy kreisin of kas, his stomach is going to split open. So the Ritva says that this is an exaggeration. What the Rabbanan actually mean is that he's going to be in pain. Yes, you're going to go and get him an instrument and take out his kites with the instrument, but meanwhile, till you get the instrument, he's lying in pain. That's what they meant with this exaggerated speech here of kreisin nefkas. Amar lahen, Rav Tarfon responded, Mutav Tivka Kreisa, it's better that his stomach should split open, while Yair Leber Shachas, he shouldn't go to Gehenna for putting his hand where he's not supposed to put his hand. So it comes out that we're not discussing actually cutting off his hand. We're just discussing, is he allowed to put his hand there or not? And the Rabbanan said that if you're not going to let him, he's going to be in pain. And the Tarfon answered, let him be in pain, that's better than to do an aver of putting his hand where it's not supposed. So we have no raya. Because of this interpretation of the Brisa, we have no raya that tiktzis actually means cutting his hand. The Ritva points out that Rabbi Elazar is lefnei mishur sadin, because we learned on Amud Aleph that if Rabbi Yehuda was frightened for various reasons on top of the Beis HaMedrash in Nardoi, he wouldn't come to hear, or he wouldn't come to Sheikh Lazarus. So if the person is full of pain and agony, the Ritva says it's also logical that he won't come to hear at that time when he's in terrible pain because of the thorn. And yet Rabbi Eliezer tells him that he can't put his hand there. So this is Lefnim Mishur Sadin, because he'll never come to Hirur or to Shichva Zera. And L'chayr, according to Ritva, we have an answer to the Orach Haner's question. It would seem that the Orach Haner didn't have the Ritva in front of him, because according to Ritva, there's no kasha of the Orach Haner. The Orach Haner asks, understanding Rav Tarfon to mean mutav tivaka kresoi, that literally his stomach should split open. In other words, he should die. Asked Aruch Haner, why should he die? Why is there a din on Hashchas Zera of Yarg Val Yavor? Even if he'll come to arousal and to Shichva Zera, why should Rav Lazar say it's better that he should die? Yes, we learned on Amud Aleph that Hashchas Zera is compared to Shvichas Damim, to murder. It's compared to Avodah Zarah, to adultery. But it's not actually like adultery or like murder, because by murder and Avodah Zarah, there's a din of Chiyuv Misa. Whereas for Hashchas Zera, there is no Chiyuv Misa. We saw before, Beis Din will put him in excommunication, in Nidui, but Beis Din Shalmata will not kill him. Beis Din Shalmala would kill him, but not Beis Din Shalmata. So we know that there's only three averes which there's a din of Yarg V'Yav, you have to give up your life for. Ask the Orach Haner, why does Rav Lazar say over here it's better that his stomach should crack open and he should die? There's no din of Yarg V'Yav. But according to the Ritva, the Orach Haner's question doesn't begin, because the Ritva is saying that it doesn't actually mean, the Rabbanan didn't mean to say that his stomach should split open, and Rabbi Elazar didn't mean to answer it's better that his stomach should split open. It's all exaggerated. The Rabbanan meant to say he's going to be in a lot of pain, and Rabbi Elazar answered it's better that he's in pain than he should do an avera and go, because of that avera, to Gehenna. But at no point did Rabbi Elazar mean to say that he should die because of the avera of Hashchas Zera. Continues the next Mishnah, Hachareshes, a deaf woman, Vashoita, and an imbecile, Vasum, and a blind person, Vashinitra Daita, a woman who lost her mind, and the Gemara is going to try to see the difference between a Shoita and a Nitra Daita. So, what do they have to do in order to eat Truma if they become a Nida? So, Imyesh and Pichos, if they have intelligent women who can help them, and they fix them up, as Rashi says, they do the bedikas for these women who are incapable of taking care of it themselves. They take them to the mikveh, and then ve'hinachus b'truma. Then once they're tohar from their nidus, they're able to eat truma. Ask the Gemara, Chareshes, a deaf woman, why can't she check herself? The sign we learned in the Brisa. So I'm a Rebbe. Rebbe said, Chareshes hoisa b'shchuna sena. There was a deaf woman in our neighborhood. Lo yidai shebedekas la'atzma. Not only did she check herself, Elish Chavrusel Royce, her friends used to see Maros, they weren't sure is it Dam Nidus or not, Umaros Law, and they would show it to her, and she was an expert, and she was able to tell them if it was Dam Nidus or not. So we see that a deaf woman could be a very intelligent person. So why does she need someone to help her? The more answers, Hasim and Daberas, Reina Shemaz. There was a woman who could hear and who could speak, but then, after she had learned how to speak and was intelligent for much of her life, then she became a chareshes, then she became deaf, but she's still an intelligent woman. But hacha, here in our mission we're speaking about, she doesn't hear and she doesn't speak. She was born that way, and therefore, because of that impediment, she is missing in her intelligence, and she needs a intelligent woman to help her. The Kiddushin we learned in a Mishnah, in Chagiga, Cheresh, the Cheresh that the Chacham spoke about all over Shas, means a deaf mute who cannot hear and cannot speak, and as a result has limited intelligence. The Mishnah said that a suma needs a woman to help her as well, an intelligent woman. Ask the Gemara, let her check herself and show it to a friend who can see. What's the problem? Because of your question, we have to say that suma is not a legitimate Mishnah. It does not belong in our Mishnah. There's actually only three women that are listed in our Mishnah, and suma should not be counted because she's intelligent. She just can't see. She does the bedik herself. She shows it to her friend. And if she's a nida, she goes through the process and then goes to the mikveh. All she needs is for someone to look at the mara that she's going to show them. Vishanitrafa daita, asking where Haina Shaita, that's the same as the other case of the Mishnah of Shaita, answers the Gemara, Shanitrafa daita machamis chayli, that a Shaita is someone who was born that way. Nitrafa daita means that she was intelligent, but because of an illness, she lost her mind. So the first one was always that way from birth, and the second one, the Nitrafa daita, was intelligent, but she lost her intelligence due to an illness.